again to our online students as well. Apostle has tremendously laid out our lesson, tremendously, and dealing with our culture, the apostolic culture. And so understanding that the shift in the training of the atmosphere that we're in this season is a restoration. It's dealing with restoration, reformation, and dealing with the reformation that's happening by causing a revolution. Revolution is designed to cause change. It also causes friction. So therefore, we understand in the shifting to bring back, put in, back in alignment, the church in divine order priorities, that there's going to be some friction. For there are those who have led for so long. And so in order to change that paradigm, it's going to cause friction. So we can expect there's some persecution to go forward, some separation among brethren to go forward, to happen because of the fact everybody don't want to come in alignment because of personal agendas, personal profits in the church. And so therefore, what we're doing now in the school of training is to raise up a generation who understands it, who understand the culture, understand the original mandate of God, how God originally set the church in order. You know, so over centuries, we begin to err because of society, because of time and the knowledge of technology of our day. You know, we got more convenient, more smarter with technology until we walked away clearly from the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. So it's to bring us back into alignment, into this culture. So let's open our books. Let's get there. I think I gave you, the last thing I gave you was dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're in chapter 2. That's where we are in chapter 2. Okay. Paul began to emphasize in here in, I wrote it in several places. He began to emphasize to us about the church order. The church order. And I said something I got to really get to you before I left was this point. Okay. So that fivefold ministry order we see in Ephesians chapter 4. Just make a note of that, Ephesians 4, 12, where he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and pastors and teachers. I believe there in Ephesians 4, the apostle really got a clearer definement of God's order, a clearer definement of God's order, because it's an argument. Ephesians 4 is an argument with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we have argued back and forward which is the right order. Because when you get over into 1 Corinthians 12, you don't see the same exact order as Ephesians 4. And so I was in prayer about it today. It's come to revelation that, you know, he had to get a clearer perspective of the divine order. Because let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go down and look at it. Let me get over there. Okay, I think it was page 56. 56. Okay, now I'm going to give you all the answers first, and I go back and do stuff. which make it easier. that's right. Make it easier. Okay. Let me do that, then I run back. Okay, let's do that. Okay. The last paragraph on page 1, on page 56, it says that the last paragraph, the last sentence, it said the areas of heavenly focus come first. The areas of heavenly focus come first and influences the area of earthly focus. The first thing we must get a clear perspective, a clear focus on, is God's agenda. What did God say? And that's going to be our focus. What did God say? And that causes us to influence the earth. When we get God's perspective, it causes us to influence the earth focus. And so this is the out of order. In the church today, we have men focus instead of God focus. And that's the out of order that we're dealing with. And so that's why God is raising up a restoration and a reformation of the apostles and prophets. Yes, sir. Because without them, we cannot see what's going on in heaven. We can't see what's going on in heaven. They're the eyes and ears to what's happening in the heavenlies, what God is doing, what God is speaking, the rhema word. They have the ears to it and the eyes to that rim. And so without them, we will only continue to go down this wilderness like Moses them did for all those years because of the fact they didn't have that vision. They didn't have vision. They lost vision. The children would not follow Moses' command in the order of God. And so they lost focus. And they wasted time and years in that desert. So we need the prophets. We need the apostles to see and to hear so we can influence the earth. So we can influence the earth. And we'll talk about that greater. Okay, so that's number one. Question and answer is going to be right there, number one. Number two, it's the very next sentence that says, when Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers third, he is describing a flow. He is describing a flow. That's number two. Number three, the next paragraph, they said, rather than having the apostles and prophets as a foundation of the church culture, today the American church has largely placed the teacher, pastor, or evangelist at the helm. That's probably going to be a true or false question there. So just make that number three. Number four is in the same paragraph, almost three quarters of the way down. You glance your eyes down there, you'll see the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor is to create a church that has strong family value and systems in place to nourish strong character in relationships. And number five, the role of the church, the role of the evangelist, is to emphasize church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. So you should have one, two, three, four, and five. Okay, you got those. Okay, now let's go back. Look at the apostles and prophets in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 through verse 31. Paul made the statement, now ye are Christ's body, and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. Various kinds of tongues. So you notice there, Ephesians, back to Ephesians 4, that two of those are missing. Two of those are missing. We have the apostle, we have the prophet, and we have the teacher. But the pastor and evangelist is not mentioned here. As if they was placed in the ministry of helps. One translation was talking about that they are placed in the realm of the ministry of helps. Because they are people focused. They are people focused. And not heaven focus. And this is why they are now in our society. This is why we esteem them now in position with the absence of the apostles and prophets in our Americanized society of church realm. We see pastors all the time. are evangelists, or we see a teacher. We have teachers and evangelists. We see those three quite often. Very seldom we have the apostles and prophets. What demonstrations of signs, wonders, and miracles take place. And so the church now is in the realm of dealing with performance. They are performing to try to produce signs, wonders, and miracles. Because we believe if we entertain you enough, we'll keep you. If we get the right praise leaders and the right musicians, you know, and the right loud enough music, you know, to set that environment that through your dancing and your shouting, you're going to be okay. But all you're getting is more performance and emotionalism, but you're not getting importation. Which is what the apostles and the prophets bring, the importation for change, for generational change, for the paradigm shift, where we become the dad made a note of it today, that we become the pace setters. We become the epic center. That people follow us. You know, instead of we're following them. We're where the heroic acts are taking place. We're where the excitement is taking place. We're the explosion that's happening in the earth that's affecting lives to be changed forever. Yes. We're changing lives. But because of the fact they are not in position, and God is restoring them, thank God for restoring them, to give us an apostle that not only can teach us what God said, but he demonstrates and they have experienced what God is saying. Yes, and that what makes the difference. You know, you can teach a man experience without having your own experience. And so that's why we have a lot of people who are teaching the Bible but have no experience. And so therefore they have no force nor power behind their preaching that bring and change people's lives. So they'll just become good spokesmen, you know, with no evidence of the power of God that changes people's lives. Because when we speak as the apostles and the prophets, when that voice go forth as God commanded and as God has spoken it, the anointing is upon it, people's lives change. It changes. When an apostle comes out of the office, when it's spending all the time across the week with God, his very presence changed the atmosphere. Because he's wearing that anointing. And his power, he's been in the presence of God. And you can sense it. You can know it's on it. So when you begin to speak, you know God, he's been in the presence of God. He's been in the presence of God. And this is a different besides just getting a good outline. 4 and 5 lit topics. No. We need an anointing. We need something to happen every Sunday. We need God to show us his glory every Sunday. Somebody need to heal. Somebody need to get delivered. Somebody need to get set free. You know, somebody need to come to enlightenment, you know, to what God is saying. And not only that, but here's the other realm. Let's go to Ephesians 4, because in fact, when we analyze 1 Corinthians 12, 27, when he talks about the apostles and prophets and their teachers, then he deal with miracles, then gifts and healings, helps, administration, various kinds of tongue. Now, Ephesians 4 talks about, again, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastor, and teachers. Then he goes on next, says their purpose is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of ministry. So what we have done was we raised up good sanctuary servants. We raised up good ushers. We raised up good choir singers. You know, we raised up all these people in church where it make church service flow easy. It's orderly. It's respect for everything. But that's really not the work of ministry. But that's been the focus of pastoring. Not the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets are more geared toward raising those who got gifts and callings. That's where they're focusing in on. What they're seeing in heaven, the move of heaven, what God has designed. Raising up men and women who can carry the torch and the anointing and the sword of the Spirit. Who can go to regions and nations and cause spiritual shifts. Who can call demonic spirits who once was the gatekeepers to drop their keys and walk away from the gates. Amen. They did no longer rule territory any longer. Amen. That's what God is raising up. Those who have gifts and callings. Yeah. See, every member in the local church carries an anointing. Yes, sir. Besides just being a good worship leader, besides just being a good president of the choir, a president of whatever you're over with, that's good. That, thank God for them. We need those gifts because that's called the ministry of helps. Yes, sir. Thank God for good secretary. That's part of administration. Yes, sir. We need that information. They're necessary. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to going to all the world and preach the gospel, then we need folks who have an anointing and a gift and callings. Yeah. So our job as apostles and prophets is to release that anointing so that gifts and callings can become recognized that God has called me to be a prophet. God has called me to be an evangelist. God has called me to be a teacher. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we have in church, we got a lot of members in church, but very few who know their call. Yes, sir. And their purpose. They call in their purpose. They come to church, have a good, wonderful service, hear a good word, and go back home and don't change nothing. Amen. Apostle said, when you walk through the grocery line in the store, the person in front of you should be saying, man, something is up in here. Yes, sir. You know, one of the things, we talk about Smith Wigglesworth walked up on a heavy anointing. Dad made reference to him sometime, you know, but he understood the anointing. In the tangibleness of the anointing. And that's what Dad's talking about. When you're wearing the mantle and when you're wearing the cloak of the anointing, it's tangible. Yes, the atmosphere shifts when you walk in the room. Yes, it shifts on you. So Smith Wigglesworth, one of his experiences he had was, God told him, say, go catch that train. Go catch a train tomorrow. And just get on a train and just go there and wait. So he got up that morning, caught the train, you know, and in the room where he had to be at, and he was sitting in the room and just riding the train. And a lady and her daughter came in and sat across from him, and he just sat there. He didn't say anything. Just sat there, just praying within himself. Mm-hmm. And the lady began to weep and cry. And he looked at her and he asked her, said, "What's going on?" She said, "I'm taking my daughter to the hospital because she got surgery this morning." And he said, "Well, God sent me here." And he laid hands on the girl and she walked with that total healed. Well, that's what the apostle is trying to raise up in this season. Those of you who are in this school, right in this room here, it's time for you to identify who you are in your identity, your calling, your anointing, to realize God has given me an assignment. I'm a man in authority, under authority. So everything goes through my apostle. But God has called me and gave me an anointing to minister. To minister, you know, but minister in a divine order. Not to be a renegade because I got two scriptures and one revelation. No. To walk abundant, a man of God, the set man whose God has put in place to submit abundant him, but yet follow his lead. You know, but he recognized that I'm in this congregation. I'm here to undergird. I'm here to pray for him, to intercede for him. And that God sent me on an assignment to go somewhere, whatever. Before I leave out, I'm talking to him. Amen. Amen. I'm talking to him because he's a set man. And I can't break rank. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 7. He says, even as they begin to march, every man's stayed in his own ranking. In his own rank. So we got to learn how to stay in our own ranks to realize that's what Paul was giving description here about. He was showing rankings that the apostle is first, yes, then the prophet, then he says teacher. Yes, sir. Okay, because Ephesians 4 gives us a different look in it. But the idea is, he says, this is to create a flow so we all can become into maturity and get the fullness of the body of Christ. The fullness of the body of Christ. See, there should never be a church service, a service that goes on without church unusual. Amen. Not one service. It should be something history making in every service. Amen. History making in every service. That the anointing is so evident because of all the anointings. Yes. Of all the power. I think what Paul was saying, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Why? Because when we come into a fellowship, there's the synergy, there's the energy, yes. The power of God that is yoke destroying and burden removing when we come together in unity. Yes. Because why? Iron is sharpening iron.
Yes, sir.
And we come in with a full supply.
Amen.
You see, come to church every morning with a full supply. My battery is fully charged, man. I've been in the presence of God. Something is about to happen up in here. We dare a demon to walk on the parking lot. I mean, they stand 10 miles off from the church. They know we ain't crossing that highway. Them folks are prayed up. Something about to happen. If they go in prayer and praise and worship, something is about to break. Why? Because they are coming in agreement. All the gifts and callings are coming together in one place. That's power, man. That's power that's going to bring change. That's where sinners begin to drop their rocks and repent and cry, what must I do to be saved? I don't care how hard they is when they come into church. That anointing is yoke destroying. Burden removing. Cancer die when they walk in the presence of God and God's anointing. It dies, man. You know, so that's no such healing sickness that cannot be healed. When you and I are anointed for it. You know, and see, a pastor ain't got to go. Let's call either one of you guys and say, look, I got a case at the hospital. I need you to go there and take care of that.
Amen.
And know that it's done.
Amen.
Know that it's done. When I walk in the hospital, the second floor just got healed. Everybody gone home. That's the kind of anointing you're carrying. That's the kind of anointing you're carrying. And you got to know as a child of God that I don't have to be the apostle. I don't have to be the prophet. I don't have to be the evangelist. I ain't got to be the teacher or the pastor. I am a child of God.
Yes.
And God has no respect a person when a man yield himself to God.
Yes.
God will use anyone who yield.
Yes.
He took a donkey and made him yield.
Yes.
And we don't want to use that lower level of beast, but the idea of people have arguments.
Yes.
God can use whatever he want to use, whoever you want to use. It's not about gender.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God, because spirits have no gender.
Amen. That's correct.
And we all are spirits.
Yes,
having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're happening. Yes. You know, but the idea is when we begin to cause the alignment and come into divine order of the apostles and the prophets, coming in divine order with the evangelists and teachers and pastors, and everybody's submitting to each other the way God said we're supposed to submit to each other, then we have heaven on earth.
Yeah.
We have heaven on earth. You know, and that's what has to happen. But again, there's going to be some friction because of denominationalism and because we live in a democratic society.
Yeah.
Everybody got a vote.
Mm-hmm.
But God don't have meetings. You know, I don't know about like y'all, but I came out of the Baptist denomination. You know, we had church, general church meetings.
Amen.
God will never have none of those.
Amen.
You know, it is what I say it is. That's the bottom line. Whatever God say it is, that's exactly what it is.
Amen.
You know, God agrees with himself.
Amen.
And we have to understand that. And so the church has a ranking and has an order. And Paul was trying to get us to understand that order and what each person does in that order. What each person does in the order. So let's look at several other things here, because I want you to really get this in your spirit, because it's going to help you in your walk with God and your pastors.
Amen.
And with the apostle. It's going to help you so much to understand your uniqueness and your gift and your calling. Okay, we're still in chapter 2. Let me get over there where I want to be. Okay. On page 57, the last paragraph, or second to the last paragraph, he said, the problem is, you see that? That these are earthly focused models of leadership. He's talking about what we talked about earlier about the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist, instead of being the apostle and prophet, pastor, teachers, and evangelists. Instead of being that divine order, people got it out of order. He said, the problem we're having is that these are earthly focused models of leadership. Without the flow of grace, without the flow of grace from the apostles and prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. These models will inevitably lead us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what he is doing now. That's why we've got to shift the paradigm. Because we need to know what God is doing now. and not in the past. That's why we're preaching good sermons, you know, with no manifestations, because we're still preaching the past rather than the rhema now word from the Lord. Amen. What is God doing now? Amen. You see, so our focus has to be on the now, what God is doing now. That's where our focus has to be. Okay, and the agenda of God is to raise you up as men and women of honorable vessels, full of the Spirit, full of the power, full of the word of truth, where you become pace setters and the pace setters and become the pioneers and those who change the climate. Amen. Those who change the climate. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you here, how many of you are pastors here? Anybody pastoring? Okay, any other apostles here? Okay, we're not here. Okay. okay. how many teachers are here? God has called you as a teacher. Good. Praise God for you. Okay, woman of God over there. Great, great. Evangelist? God has called you evangelist? Okay, one back in the back. Okay, who else are we leaving out? Pastors, evangelists, and teachers. That's what we covered everybody, right? I did pastors. Okay, prophets. Any prophets in the house? Okay, see, that's what was missing. It's missing. There should be prophets, pastors, apostles, teachers, and evangelists right in this room. That's why the body is stagnated. You know, that's why the body is not really showing for the epic center that Apostle is talking about to bring change and climate shift. Because we've been minimized to just being members. Just being members of a local church. I'm a member of such a church. No, what about the gifts and callings that's in that church? Now, everybody's not pastors. Understand that. Everybody's not going to be the apostle. Everybody's not going to be the teacher and pastor. All that. Understand. Everybody's not called to all those things. But there should be more in here. You see, should be more in this school. That's one of the things this school is designed to help you come into identifying who you are, what your calling is, and what God has set you to do. So you can fulfill that. Now let's look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 in your Bibles. I know that's challenging, but this is what has to be birthed. This will have to be birthed. He said, equip them for the work of ministry. Equip them for the work of ministry. I know we got good prison ministry, nursing home ministries. You know, those are needed. They're necessary. They're necessary. We need those people in the body of Christ. Okay? And so even when we get to do cell ministries, we need home teachers, if that was to ever come forth. You know, those who can do home cell ministries. You know, because when a church gets so large, it has to be able to minister effectively to everybody. And so somebody got to break them down in smaller groups to make sure we're ministering effectively. Okay? Make sure we're ministering effectively. Okay? Look what Paul says here in Romans 12. Let me... 10 minutes, okay. Verse 3. He said, for by the grace given me... See, again, the apostolic has a grace on it. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgments. Now, that's a translation a little different from the King James Version, but just kind of read along with me. You should be in the same ballpark here. Think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we're not in competition with our gifts. and our callings. It's one body. So I need all my members. From my pinky to my pancreas, I need every part of me. Every part of me to function. Look what he says. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Then he goes on and on and on. We should finish the whole chapter. But the idea, he reveals the difference of callings and gifts, giftings. May not be all apostles, may not be all prophets. He said, but if you've been given the gift of giving, or the gift of the mercy of God, or the gift of other areas of administration or ministry, he said, then whatever your call is, then do it. Yes. Then do it. One of the problems that we have to help define, this is what the teacher does. The prophet and the apostle sees from heaven, but the teacher explains the process. Mm-hmm. Teachers are designed to give us explanation of how the process works. Okay, so he breaks it down. He analyzes it. He scientifically breaks it all down and put it all back together for us so we can see the divine order and how it all operates with each other. So therefore, he's saying to us, he says, there are those of you who are going to be good praise and worship leaders. We need you. We need you. We need those who can do it. Again, prison men, those who can nursing home ministry, those who can do children ministry. Everybody ain't cut out the children ministry. A couple of y'all in here ain't cut out doing no children ministry. You know, but we need youth ministers, you know, youth pastors who will rise up. But everything has to operate in its faith, in its divine order. If not, if we become jealous of each other and begin to strive amongst ourselves, then we destroy the effectiveness of the operation. So love has to be the glue. It has to be the environment. Love has to be in the environment. The peace of God has to be in the environment, because this is what keeps it all in harmony. Yes, sir. That when we offend one person, offend another, we get it straight. You ain't got to leave the church and go somewhere else. No, let's get this straight and apologize and move on. You know, but what happens so many times is because of this competitive spirit in a lot of ministries, it doesn't function perfectly in alignment. That's right. And when strife come in, the Holy Spirit is hindered. Mm-hmm. The moves of God are hindered because of strife. Yes. So that's why the apostles is there to straighten it out. Amen. To straighten it out. To set order to the operation so we can alleviate and get rid of strife in the body of Christ and confusion in the body of Christ. Yes, sir. That's why I need the apostles. Pastors don't do that. Pastors pamper. Pastors gathers. That's what pastors do. They gather. They want to make sure everybody's okay. Okay? And so we don't want to lose nobody. You know? So now we got to set up rules for everybody to make sure everybody's okay. People pleasing. Eye servings. Because why? We don't have the apostle here. We don't have the prophet here who sets order. You know, who put things strictly enforcing thing. This is the way God says it's supposed to be. This is the way God says it's supposed to operate. So you need to get that corrected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to get that corrected. That's what Apostle was talking about when he was preaching in Texas. And this guy jumped up and started talking about God is calling for a healing revival. Apostle said, shut down, shut down. It's a prosperity revival. You know, but see, the idea, when we don't have that strong leadership, they become a disrespect. We need strong fathers. And the children need to be able to respect their fathers, their spiritual fathers in the kingdom of God. And so that's what God is raising up the apostles, because we need pastors who can pastor us strictly according to the word of God, that we come in divine order with God's word. Instead of saying, you know, pastors who want to keep us comfortable because that we're paying the bills. So I can't let you go. I mean, look, no, I need you to come give me your tithes. I need your offerings every Sunday, you know, and I can't disturb you. Because I disturb you, I got to deal with your auntie, your uncle over there. Everybody got to deal with all of them going to want to leave. You know, so I'd rather just pacify you and let you continue doing what you're doing so they can stay. That's what pastor does. And that's why we have weak churches without demonstration of the power in the anointing of God, where we don't have correction. We don't have divine order. Because God only blesses, again, Apostle made mention of it, that God wants everything decent and in order. And that's government, which comes from the apostle and the prophets. People ain't going to like us because we deal with order. Make this note in your spirit about life. Just because a thing exists does not mean it's acceptable.
Amen.
And that's what people want. They want acceptance. They want to continue to do it. Well, we've been doing this for years. Even though you may have been doing it for years, it's yet still not acceptable. So a compromised spirit has come into the church where we have to compromise with people. Even in our own personal lives, you know, if we're not strong enough, we're compromised with people so we can be a part of their company, so they can be a part of our environment, instead of setting them straight according to government. According to government. No, this is truth. I deal with truth, not my emotions, not my feelings. I deal with truth. You see, if you deal with what's right, right will always prevail. Because it's what's right, not my emotion, not what I feel is right, no, it's what is right. You know, and that becomes the thing that we're dealing with in kingdom is idea God is right. And because men don't want to come in alignment with what's righteous, God's way of doing things and doing it right, Matthew 6:33, because they don't want to come in alignment with the kingdom of God, so therefore they want to do what they want to do. They go start their own list show instead of coming in alignment. You know, with what God is doing, you know, so that's the adjustment that this culture is developing. The culture is developing an alignment where men are matured, women are matured, walking in the things of God and seeing demonstrations and manifestation of the kingdom in the earth. Just because it exists over there, and that's what exists over here. We're not allowing your fashions to come in our culture. And so an apostle started talking about ties and cut jeans and all this kind of stuff. Well, Pastor, I paid $75 for this pair of pants. Wear it over there, not here. No, he said, this is a house where we come before the king. And you don't come before the king out of order. No, it's respect and reverence. You know, there are people realize, they just look at the apostle, the man in front. No, this is God's presence that we're getting ready to embrace. We're getting ready to bring an offering to the Lord. Amen. So I'm not coming here for a fashion show. Amen. I'm here to bring an offering, yes, a sacrificial offering, my praise. I'm giving me, yes, as a sacrificial offering of praise and worship. And so we have to understand in this culture. This is why there's a culture shift. And we start talking about these order things, people going to get disturbed. They're going to get disturbed because it's strong. Yes, sir. Order is strong, but it has to be preached. Yes, sir. And you might not have a full church every Sunday. You know, you might not have a lot of poke at your Thanksgiving dinner this week, this year. But that's okay. I'm going to have the right people here. Amen. And that's all I need. Amen. The right people. And I'm rightly out of time. God bless y'all.